Grace Church. Hey, our softball team is back.
How cool is that? Yeah. So I just want to invite them to come on up. We'd like to have them share with you about what's going on and how their time was. Boy, it's good to see you guys. You're looking great. I see you got some duds. So just as a reminder to you all, this is Jessica and Mitch and Marty, and we were pleased to have them go and be a part of this trip and to serve on behalf of the church family, but also in honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me open with a word of prayer before we start our conversation. Father God, I'm beyond thankful that you work through us, all of us, broken people, people who don't have our acts together, don't always have all the greatest knowledge or wisdom, and yet you still work in us and through us, and you choose to do so to meet your perfect ends. And Father, you have called us to go beyond the walls of the church, go beyond the walls of our comfort. You've called us to go and make disciples, teaching everybody about Jesus Christ so that they may know the truth of who you are and they too may find redemption and freedom, peace, and the promise of eternal life in you. And Father, this team spent a week outside these walls serving you. And now, Father, we rejoice in having them return so we can hear a little bit about what they did and to celebrate with them how they've seen Jesus at work. So we just praise you and thank you for this time. Amen and amen. So I figured we'd start with, so what was a typical day like?
I brought a prop.
Good. Is it food?
Very early in the morning, 1 to 4 of us, and we won't forget our friend Tom in Michigan, who's not with us today, but we would all get up and go down the street to one of the boutiques and pick up baguette, just like this. And we'd get 3 to 4 of them. We'd usually bring back an extra one for the guard in the guest house we were staying at. And these cost about 150 CFA, which is very inexpensive. And then we would take the paper off first, safety first, and then put it over the gas fire on our stove because you have to kill any of the germs that may or may have not been left on there from however it got from the bakery to where we were. And then we'd eat it with jam and butter and whatever else. So it was our morning. And then from there, we would take a taxi usually to the camp. We would help get set up at the camp. Tom and Mitch would regularly go and get 18 of these baguettes to feed the students, and then we would do a welcome event, some sort of game that we were... English was highly involved, but the kids got up and active and doing something, and then we would have a pre-teach. They would watch part of the movie that you'll see if you've seen The 100-Foot Journey. That was the movie they were going through, and then there would be... question and answer. We broke up into 4 teams that had they had questions that they had to answer about sort of the what had happened in that section of the movie, and then we went into a Bible study. So again, as a reminder, the Engage class in the English camp we were doing had to do with teaching English through the text of the Bible, and so we had a mixture of mostly Muslim students with a couple Christian students, but here's the Bible story, and then we had topical questions that we again broke up into different groups that were male and female based. We had three groups of males and 1 group of females, and we would go through those questions with them, and their answers sometimes were very eye-opening, sort of hearing answers to Bible stories or questions about the Bible stories from people who were not familiar with the text, who weren't brought up with it, you know, who didn't necessarily believe in it. And so... And then we would have an activity, so some sort of physical activity. It ranged from, basketball to disc golf to soccer, s'mores one day at the beach. They had never seen or had s'mores before, so that was an entirely different activity in and of itself. And as we were warned, Senegalese people, and they weren't all Senegalese, but they were very competitive. It did not matter what we were doing. You had to go over the rules about 6 times. And then you still had to police them while we were playing. And so camp would release at that... Oh, after lunch, sorry. How did I forget lunch? Every day we would eat lunch with the students, and I'm sure there'll be pictures of it, or if you haven't seen the pictures we sent back, very large stainless steel trays, and it was a common plate, and you had a spoon in one hand, and hopefully you weren't like Marty and weren't left-handed and had to eat with your opposite hand. And so we ate lunch, and then we dismissed the students, and then we went back, and inevitably Mitch would take a nap every day. And or we would go for a walk, and then we'd have dinner either with a missionary or with Bill and Kathy, and then be utterly exhausted and go to bed and start the next day. And some of us made appearances on the prayer calls at 11:30 our time out there.
Yeah.
And that was a day, and then we started and woke up in the morning and got very excited to do it all over again.
How'd you guys sleep at night? Were you sleep pretty well?
One thing I'd like to mention about the day is every morning we had a morning with Mitch, and Mitch would lead devotion for the team for us and for the team at the camp. If it wasn't a camp day, he would lead devotion for us. And then every evening we would gather together and have prayer and reflection with each other. So every morning started with prayer and ended with prayer. Hmm.
I did not come with morning with Mitch. But it was an eye-opening for me to lead not only the group every morning through devotion, but also through the entire teachers who are really leading the students not only to Christ, but also on a daily day basis, to making sure to talk to the kids. The nap during the day, I learned my lesson. Next time I go back to Senegal, I'm not gonna do it again, because when I get home, oh boy.
You get in the pattern, taking that nap.
It's not easy. I think I'm still struggling with patterns. I'm still troubled. Yeah.
What I like about that answer is you said, when I go back to Senegal.
That's
pretty cool to hear. That's kind of settled in there a little bit. So the goal of the English camp is to interact with students who are trying to learn English, to try to bring them one step closer to the cross, one step closer to maybe understanding who Jesus is. So was that goal met, and do you have any examples of how that goal got met?
Well, I would say yes. My favorite part of the camp was the small group, and pretty much doing the Bible discussion. I love that discussion, because that's when you see exactly the young people come alive, talking about their religion. And also, you as a believer, you gotta make sure that you stand where you stand. And my advice is that if you're not strong on where you believe, by the time you left Senegal, you may be a Muslim, of how they are. One of the stories that's really bothering me, and it's still bothering me until today, and I don't know, probably when I go, God willing, I'll go back. So I'm making sure to keep talking to this young man. One young man doing a discussion group, while I was talking to him, he said this, and I quote, "I cannot talk to God because my father said I am too young and God would not listen to me." That's a father who say that to a son. And that really broke my heart. And since then, I took upon myself to making sure that I talk to this young man. And until now, we're still sending WhatsApp messages to each other. And then I remember Tuesday, when I came back, I sent him a message and I said, "Hey, I just want you to know that even though I'm not in the country, but we still have connection, we will be able to talk." And then I said, "What do you think about the Bible?" And then we started having a discussion. He's like, "It's good, we can have a discussion." He's open to learn, but at the same time, he needs somebody to make sure to talk to him about it. So this is one of the lessons that I've learned, and I have learned many more. But it's an example of how over there in west side of Africa, where 95%, according to one of the tour guide, Omar, 95% are Muslim, and then 5% you see like Christians, but the Christians over there are not believers, they are Catholic and other religious. So for a Protestant or a believer, it's about like 0.05. So the job that the missionaries are doing over there is so important and very powerful, and they need more people to make sure that to share the gospel with the people in Senegal.
Thank you. Thank you. It kind of leads into another thought, and that thought being you also had time to meet with other missionaries while you were there, which was kind of a unique part of this, as I recall. I think you even participated in a church service while you were there. So I'm wondering, did the working with or meeting with those other missionaries, did that expand your sense of what was happening there? Did it expand your own sense of the way God is on the move in Senegal?
Can I take this one more?
Go ahead.
So I will, I can kind of, there's like three stories that kind of all have the same core that, again, like sort of like Mitch's story, this is kind of what's hit me. We did, the first Sunday we were there, go to a church, Pastor Allende's church, and that was in simultaneously translated in French, Wolof, and English, which is very interesting.
Can I stop you a minute? How does that work?
So the Pastor Allende who was speaking in French, and then he has that's a long story. It wasn't Pastor Allende, but... Yeah, Pastor Francois. And then there's another gentleman that comes up and simultaneously sort of, he waits and they translate it into Wolof, which is
sure.
There's so many stories. I swear we could be here through the second service. But and then Mitch or Bill would then translate into English for us. so it was, there's a lot going on.
Okay.
And but anyway, so we were at the service, and the first story I'd love to share is that Grace sent, as at a request of Bill, French and Arabic Bibles. And I wish we had had a video, and the one time my camera wasn't out, we handed a bag, like a regular reusable shop, right? You pick the bag, to Pastor Allende, and I've never seen an adult jump up and down and have so much joy over being handed a bag of Bibles. He said that, so we gave him the ones in French, and he said, I have people who come to the saving knowledge of Christ, and I don't have anything to give them. I can't give them a Bible. We don't have them. And so for us to give those to him, just the joy on him and the other people that help him in his church. So we want to thank you all for that. I mean, whether you participated directly or not, that was, you don't understand the impact it has. And so that's one of the stories, but the Bible will run as a thread throughout this, but we also, the place where we had the English camp was run by other missionaries, and they had missionaries who were there from Mauritania, which is a country to the north, but it is a closed country, which means, if you're in the missionary world, it is an Islamic state, and it is not welcome to Christians of any type. And so these men had to leave for 8 months the country of Mauritania to come to Senegal to learn how to evangelize in a closed country. And these men, I don't recall what language they spoke. Is it? And so they were given a copy of the Old Testament in their language. And as adults older than me, I was reduced to tears. I don't know if they were, for the first time in their life, seeing the Bible in their own language. And so, literally by a show of hands, if you have a Bible with you, printed or electronic, please raise your hand, because they don't. They've never seen one, and the full Old and New Testament of the Bible has still yet to be printed in the language that they know. And so another group of missionaries that we went to, the same type of story, was the Mashburns, who are in Chess. They are working with a Muslim-born gentleman, if you did the Days of Prayer, who is working in Chess, in Wolof, and trying to reach people there. That's the same story. The language of Wolof still does not have a complete printing of the Bible. And so he daily goes out and trades, they call trading in kind, Bible stories that are printed in one side in Wolof and the other side using Arabic script. And he can read the story to them in Wolof, but they can some of them read it themselves from Quranic school in Arabic and learn Bible stories. And he goes through these pamphlets on a daily basis. His part of his job is just standing daily at a bus depot and handing out the word of God. And the Mashburns themselves, who are expats, they are there. Essentially, his job is to walk the neighborhoods of Chess and sit down with people, have tea with people, which is also an experience, and the same thing, to strike up a conversation in Wolof in a tubab, which is what the three of us are, foreigners, tubabs.
They are more tubab than
then, me. Yeah, he got away with it a couple times. But
good, I'm glad we got that settled.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I was wondering.
It's, you know, it's a spectacle for a tubab to be speaking Wolof.
Okay.
So it's, but yeah, and so the English camp, the other part of sort of the other question you answered though too is spreading the word. Marty will tell, I think, a story of some of their reactions to us, but you have to understand that English is the pinnacle for these people success-wise. If they can speak English, it opens doors that other things cannot. Mm. The next echelon down is French, which is the standard language, but below that is Wolof, and then even further below that is their tribal languages. And as they move up that language chain, the more successful they can be. And so giving them the word of God is of the utmost importance, but even giving them a step up and a leg up on learning English is another way that we're giving them practical assistance by doing that, because they can go further, whether that means going to colleges and universities outside of Senegal, they're able to do that. So, but long answer.
No, good answer.
Amazing trip.
Marty, you have something to add to that?
Well, I have a couple of things that I want to share. One is this idea of all of us coming together and building relationship. Building relationship is where everything starts, and we build relationship with each other, and then we build relationship with Christ. So when we would sit down and eat, you have a great big tray, and you eat the little triangle in front of you, and I'm left-handed, so I'm trying to eat with my right hand. Most of it I'm dropping. But what would happen is, a lot of the young men would sit around me because it meant they got a lot more, because it took me so long to eat and they got all my leftovers. But it was a wonderful experience because we got to speak one-on-one with each other. And I would ask them, what is it that you enjoy about Engage? What is it that you enjoy most about the English school? And they would say, we get to be ourselves. And they would say, there's peace there. And I would say, peace? Isn't there peace? And no. There is peace there. And they would tell me about how loving the teachers are to each other and to them. And then they said, and you guys came over, and you brought everything we needed for the camp, thank you, Grace Church, and the games and all of that. And then you're loving with each other, and you're loving with the people that work here. What does that come from, you know? And let me tell you, to say something is peaceful is the highest compliment that you can give someone in Senegal. And so Jessica had given us a book about engaging Islam, and Bill had sent training materials that Scott Taylor took us through about interacting with the least reached people. And so I was able to, they'd say, what is it? And I said, well, you know, you guys have the prophet Jesus in the Quran. But for us, he's a lot more than a prophet. You know, for us, he died for us. He lived a life of love. And the difference that you're asking me about, I think, for all of us, is because we're Christians. And that's where that love comes from. They just kind of sit back and, not conversion, but one step closer. to the cross. Mm. You know, one step. Mm. Like they notice a difference. Not it's attraction that they're seeing while we're there, not promotion. And that attraction is very powerful. And with regard to the missionaries, one of the things that I noticed with the missionaries, and I think it's true for all of us too, is that every missionary got called, but they never felt like they were enough. And they didn't know what was going to happen next. And it reminds me of when Jesus was doing the Sermon on the Mount and he had the fishes and the loaves. And the, you know, his gang was like, hey, JC, we don't have enough here to feed everyone. We don't have enough for ourselves. And Jesus said, you know what? Just give me what you have. Just give me what you have. And he took it, and he gave thanks, and he gave it back, and then it was distributed. And there was a huge abundance that grew from that. And I feel like that's what the mission, all the missionaries that we talked to weren't quite sure what was going to happen, and they weren't quite sure if they had enough, but they gave what they had to Jesus. He held it, he blessed it, and it is amazing the kind of work that they're doing. And here at Grace, you guys, all of us as a church family do the same thing. How many people created something for this trip? How many people prayed for this trip? How many people were involved in VBS so that we could understand how to take VBS over to Senegal? How many people at this church donated materials or supplies? Nobody could do it all. But it's just like, well, give us what you got, and we'll take it over there. And there was an abundance of blessing in that. Thank you.
Mm. And I think one of the, what Maddie was talking about interaction, one of the most important things is that they will see how you interact with each other first. So they thought that us three, we know each other for a long time, of how we interact with each other, right? This is the person that I bother every day, and she's bothering me every single day, right? So this is the person. And Jessica sometimes would say, okay, let's make the deal negotiation when we take a taxi, right? So she will be the banker. So us two will be the negotiator. And they love that. They love how we interact with each other until we let them know, no, we don't know each other that long. And they're like, oh, really? You guys seem like you know each other for the longest time. So interaction is very important. And as I said, God willing, for the next trip, I would love to join the trip again, because I know that for sure my work is not done, and I'm sure that for all of three of us here, our work is not done in Senegal, and I think it just started with your blessing and with your love, and I'm sure we will be able to do greater things by God's love.
Mm. So our time is running a little bit short. So I wonder if you're different.
Oh yeah.
I wonder if you're different.
Well, I think we're all different. I love Maddie a little bit more now.
That was a long journey.
I believe we all are different. For me, I have a love, even though I love the people of Senegal already, it seems like I'm more in love with them now. And it seems like I have a lot to give. And I'm sure that by God's love and by God's grace, and also with your help and, you know, prayer, we see where God leads us. But yes. A lot of things change, even my sleep now. So when it's 7 o'clock for you guys, it's actually 11 o'clock for me, right? So that's when my eyes start closing.
Yeah.
So my wife would say, "You remember you in the U.S. now, so just making sure."
It's a good thing you have Rose.
Yeah, she always reminds me, like, just making sure that you know you're back home. because the time and my body still not get to that time yet. I have to text him. I'm like, wait a second, it's 7 o'clock and I'm
sure.
And I'm sleepy.
Sure.
And that's something. And you know, I think this group, it's a fun group. I never knew she was, you know, so nice. She's nice to me. Probably, you know, probably the French connection, you know.
Okay.
And Marty, she's awesome. I know she was.
No
she,
doubt.
She's okay.
No doubt.
Yeah, she's my people that I really bother a lot, and I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love you, Marty.
And Marty, this is your second trip. Third trip. You're right. Third trip. Sorry. And are you different after the third one?
I think I am. I see a difference in two ways. One is that idea of the mustard seed.
Mm.
And I'm thinking about everything that the missionaries are doing, like when Deb Mashburn put together the 21 Days of Prayer, and I participated with it, and when Minnesota went to Senegal, and then we brought it here, and then Scott enhanced it, and then a lot of people from the church were a part of it, and we would hand out the prayer card. So I'm aware of how much things can grow when we bring opportunity. And we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Even with working here in Kingston, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just, as soon as we leave the parking lot, we're in the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are so many programs that we can engage in. And the second thing for me is that it's very soothing. I feel very soothed. It's very soothing for me to have been in an experience, and there's a lot of turmoil in our world, and yet it's so soothing to me to see all these people who are trying to bring the love and heart of Jesus to others. And so much good takes place in and around that. So how interconnected we are and how we can build on each other. And then that notion of even with the despair and pain, there is still so much love.
Thank you. Jessica, have you been changed?
Yeah, I think I'll preface our responses by saying that as we are each uniquely made, and all of you, if you are at all a part of this experience, I wouldn't be dissuaded by anything we might say or what you might see as us being radical. We're clearly none of us tomorrow moving to Senegal, but some of us may be contemplating it in the future. But just know that as you have an experience like this, you respond differently. So if you find our responses scary, don't let that deter you from at all participating in a future one. You will be changed uniquely to how God will work in your life. But I would say that mine has brought on perspective. It was one of the last discussions we had before we left, and I was very much aware and wanted to preempt myself from having a purely emotional response to what was happening. I didn't want this to be a very, very high peak that would be followed by a very deep valley that, and then go back to my normal. My goal was never to go back to normal. And so I think my perspective has changed. I wasn't exposed to missions the way that some other people were. So my perspective on missions and what missions in the field looks like is entirely different now. But I feel like my perspective I'm in the process of praying for realigning what some of my priorities are and how I need to spend and value different things. And I joked with my with my coworkers, and I came back and I was like, well, you know, if you thought I didn't care before, you know, I'm still going to work 9 to 6 and do my 110% best, but I assure you, at 6 p.m., I don't care anymore. There's way more bigger things in the world that my time and my effort need to be spent on. And like I said, that's not at all to jilt my employer or my client. It's really, there's bigger things, and I need to be spending more time in prayer considering what it is that my role is in those things. And so I don't know yet, I think, is the answer. And I think the what's changed is the seeking the perspective of what is next and what I do with this experience, because you know, whether that's going back, which we'd all love. I think you've heard that. If you haven't yet, we'll go back at some point, I think. But it's still what that going back isn't the end goal. There's other things to be done here on the ground. And whether that's here in going outside our local borders or whether that's working with Converge, which is the missionary organization that Bill and Kathy are in, there's things to be done here on the ground for them as well. And so I think that's what it is for me, is a change in perspective, a shift in what it is that outside of what I do for a living to bring in, you know, support for my family, where else should I be working?
Hmm. Yeah, it's a realigning. What a marvelous thing to think that as we all engage in that realignment of our lives around Jesus, how he takes that and he begins to work inside us. And as he works inside us and he changes us and he makes us more and more in the image of himself, that begins to show itself in the way we interact with other people. And as we interact with other people, with Jesus's mission in mind and with his spirit at work in us, changing us from the inside out, drawing us into an ever-deepening love for him, and at the same time providing an ever-deepening love for the people around us, he begins to work through that in that relational piece to draw others to the light of the gospel. And it's amazing to me. I love hearing the stories of people going and coming back because you're all pretty normal. You know, you're just normal. You're normal people. And you go and you devote yourself to him and you get a chance to see him in a new way, and inevitably that has an effect on how you look at the world around you. And if we as Grace Church fix our eyes upon him, trusting that what he says is true, trusting that what he says about the world and about this life is true, we will find that we're engaging in the world differently, and we'll be doing that missions work right here. And that's just an awesome thought to me. You know, during the break time, I'm going to have an opportunity to meet with a sister who's starting to talk about a bilingual VBS. And I'm so excited by that. The notion that we as a church could engage with the community right here, doing similar things, just creating relationship. It kind of mirrors what you've all been showing us in Senegal. So thank you. I'm going to put my brother Scott. Scott, are you here? Could I ask you to just come up and take the mic, and would you pray for this team? And while he's praying for the team, the music team can come on up. But Scott's been so involved in this trip, and I didn't get him a chance to speak. So I think it should be on already. And you turned it off. Okay. He can have you here. You can have this nice pink one.
I think it's on.
I think we're all set. Okay.
Pray with me, Father. Lord, this morning, as I often do, I look at the word of the day in Bible Gateway. And this morning's word of the day, I go, wow, this is exactly what we're going to hear about today. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so it doesn't really matter if we're in Senegal, and we are so thankful this morning to hear about all the things that are going on in Senegal, what our team did in Senegal, what you did through them, the love that they had for one another, the peace that was felt from the Senegalese when they were there, from the English Center, which we've been supporting for years, from our team, which they just met. That, Lord, that peace is from you yourself. As we fix our eyes on you, you give us peace. You know, the world, you even said to your disciples, there is trouble in this world, but take heart. I've overcome this world, is what you said to your disciples. And I know that you have said that to our team, you've said it to our missionaries in Senegal, and you say it to us. We can be that peace, the peace of Christ, to the people around us. So we're in some walls right now, right here in Grace Church, but you're not bound by these physical walls. And there's other walls, there's spiritual walls in people's hearts that are here in Kingston, in Ulster County, in New York State, and in Senegal, in Dakar, in Mauritania. We've heard about these things this morning. So, Lord, we need to keep our eyes fixed on you. You're the one who's the author, the perfecter of our faith. You're the one who died and rose again. You're the one who's the victor. And so this morning, again, we come to you and we worship you. We thank you. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And it's in his name we pray, and we thank you for our team who went. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Scott.